Good morning. Well, everyone, I'm just going to move a bit closer. So for those who don't know me, my name is Tim Cowles, and I lead the team here at Jubilee. And it's great to have you all with us this morning. And this is our first Sunday on our new series on looking at Christmas, on the build-up to Christmas. I think it's also the first Sunday of Advent. And so we're really looking forward to it, looking forward to Christmas this year. So has anyone got an Advent calendar in yet? A couple of people. Does anyone of those, are your Advent calendars chocolate-based or all chocolate? Love the chocolate. Have you had one early yet? No. Well, I was actually at a family thing yesterday, and the person we were visiting had an Advent calendar, and they'd already opened the first day and had gone for it. But I mean, you think it's a box of 24 chocolates for some, you know, just on the build-up. Has anyone started their Christmas shopping yet? Yeah, so has anyone completed their Christmas shopping yet? No, I was going to say, you would be incredible, just need to teach me. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Christmas this year. For me, it's always an opportunity just to spend time with family and friends, to play games, to kind of just take a little bit of a break from work and have those sort of 2 weeks and just have a bit of an unwind. And it's also great because it's an opportunity for us to celebrate and remember, you know, the reason behind the season, as we say. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But I know for many, especially this year, that's not the case. That's not my experience of what I'm looking forward to might not be what everyone else is looking forward to as well, because there's some challenges. And here are some statistics for us that have been conducted by the Post Office based on a survey that different people have been contributing to about how people were feeling about the cost of living crisis and Christmas. And the results were that 4 in 10 people are worried they won't be able to afford Christmas this year. 83% say that the cost of living will impact on their Christmas. Half say Christmas will be a smaller occasion this year. A third of parents are worried that their children won't receive many gifts. And almost 1 in 4 are feeling anxious this Christmas, up from 1 in 6 last year. You know, it's really saddening to hear that so many people are sad, they're worried, they're anxious at this time, because, you know, it's the season to be jolly, is what, you know, the slogan, the tagline says. And we felt as an eldership team that God had, you know, that our God, our living God, had put on our heart a real desire for us to encourage one another during this season that there is hope. You know, there is hope for us. And so that's the title of this series, is There Is Hope. And, you know, it's important for us to stress that, you know, when we talk about this is not, you know, I hope I get the job, or I hope that I get good results, or I hope that they say yes, or I hope that my team, I hope that England wins. You know, it's not, these aren't the hopes that we're talking about, because sometimes these might not come true. Just they're sort of linked to expectations. But what we're talking about is a hope, as Peter describes in 1 Peter 3-5, where he says this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Ooh. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, it's wonderful. Thank you, Rachel and Rob and Chris, for that time of worship. It was wonderful singing those songs where, you know, particularly, you know, the glorious day, you know, he called you by name and you run out of the grave into that unfading light, into that, you know, that view of what the heavenly inheritance will be for us. So when we're talking of hope and we're wondering of God's goodness and his faithfulness to us, you know, when people hurt us or let us down, you know, when work oppresses us and struggles were there, when we're worried about our finances, when we feel left out, do you know that we have a hope in a living person? We have a hope in a living person through Jesus who can still our hearts, who can inspire courage, give us strength and fear. Well, give not fear, give us strength where fear and doubt and confusion have crept in. As Jesus lives, so our hope lives. And Jesus is never going to die, and therefore our hope is never going to die or fade away. This is the hope that we're talking about, the hope that we have strength to face tomorrow. I know it's challenging, it can be challenging, and this is what we've been reminded of. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the hope that we have in different situations or different sort of from a theme point of view, looking at the Christmas story. And actually, we're going to be looking at it in reverse order, I realized the other day when I was looking at this. We're going to be looking at the whole Christmas story in reverse order. So we're going to be starting today with looking at the wise men. Then we're going to be talking about the shepherds next week. Then at our carol service, we're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking about Mary and Joseph. And then on Christmas Day, we're going to be looking at a prophetic word from the Old Testament about the future kingdom at the birth, you know, on Christmas Day. So we're kind of, you know, those sort of videos that you see online about, like, you know, reversed. We're going to be doing a little bit one of those, a little bit of a wriggle reverse around what we're looking at in terms of this Christmas time. And I think my last encouragement for us is before I sort of bring this message from today in terms of this hope is that the hope is the same, and it should be the same. So actually, whether it's me talking this week or Chris talking next week, or at the carol service, or Carney and Matt, when they bring a message across this series, you're going to hear the repeated messages of hope. And that's not a problem. That's important, because actually it is one the same hope applied in different contexts. And so I want to encourage us to not think as we're sort of coming along and listening, oh, I've heard that before, or, you know, even to the preachers here, don't think, oh, he's taking all my best material, because I've, you know, had a good chance to see Chris's, and I was thinking, wow, some really great stuff in that. So look forward to next week. I was thinking I should pinch that for my message and be, you know, but don't think, oh, we've heard this. You know, let's let it wash over us again. Let's let it refresh us every single time, because hope builds. We want hope to ignite in us and to encourage us as we go, you know, once, twice, three times, four times, five times across this. We all need hope. And we know that we're in a season where there feels like there's a lot of people out there who could benefit from this hope. So my encouragement as well is that over this time, particularly just, you know, Christmas is a time of year where I find that people are more receptive to wanting to come along to church. And so I'd encourage you, as we've tried to, you know, want to hand you flyers each to kind of think about the carol service, because always, again, people seem more receptive to want to come along to a carol service and open to that. Almost we ask that question, oh, come and see. Why not come and see? Come and hear a message of hope, because it's going to be the same applied in different contexts in terms of these Christmas themes. But you can say to people, if you're struggling, why not come and see? Come along to church. I just want to just pray for these flyers for us. You know, we believe that as we, you know, give them out and we think about who we want to give them to, that God's power, we want them to be sort of almost like a red hot, as it were. Do you know what I mean? Like red hot, that they would just be hot, not dumped in the dominoes pile of like flyers that come through the letterbox that you think I'm never going to look at, but, you know, be something that's going to end up on the fridge or wherever it might be, that's going to say, actually, I'm going to get this in the calendar. So Father, we want to pray for these flyers, Lord. We want to pray that the hands that they end up in, Lord, will be receiving of this invitation to come and hear about the hope of who you are. Lord, we ask that you would do wonderful, amazing things this Christmas time, Lord, that we would see people who are searching have an opportunity to find answers and find hope in you, Lord, because you are the one who is the living hope, which we've just been talking about. So Father, we ask that as we give out these flyers, as we think about our friends or our families, we maybe just dish them out very generously, Lord, that we pray that a harvest would be returned from them. You know, these seeds that we plant would generate a yield of a harvest to come, Lord. So Father, encourage us as we do that. Help us to be full of confidence and courage, and banish fear and anxiety, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you'd be with us as we invite over this time. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be looking at the story of the wise men, just bringing a couple of things for us. But I was wondering, what was the last thing that you seriously searched for? Have a little think. What was the last thing that you seriously searched for? I'm going to have another bit of drink, actually. This pizza box, or one very similar to this, was probably something that I very seriously searched for recently. Not because you're thinking you must be hungry and want some food, and that's what it was. No, it probably was almost about a year ago now, but I had lost a pizza box. And I know you're kind of thinking, and I'll tell you, just a little bit of lightheartedness, really. But you got the pizza, you got it home, took it out of the cellophane, put the pizza on the tray to go in the oven, it goes in the oven. And for us, we have a little recycle box somewhere. Does other people have a little recycle space? Ours in the bottom of a cupboard, door that shuts, where sort of baking trays, etc. live. And so kind of did all the instructions that you need to do, went to the cupboard, threw it in the box, shut the cupboard, went and sat down. And then I thought, I've forgotten how long the pizza's meant to be on for. So I was like, oh, I need to go just to be sure, to double check, because sometimes it's 7 to 9 minutes, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 12, you know what I mean. And so I thought, I just want to make sure. So I walked back to the recycle bin, opened up the door, and the pizza box wasn't there. The pizza box wasn't there. And I was thinking, what's this about? I've literally put it in here and it's disappeared. And I end up thinking, okay, well, I'm going to just use a bit of common sense here. Priority number one, don't burn the pizza. Keep an eye on that. But then we're eating pizza, and I start getting, that sort of nudge to be like, but where has it gone? Does anyone else get that? You kind of think, I need to know. I need to know what's happened to this pizza box. And so I'm looking at there. I've put out the other recycling. I kind of, you do that flourish, don't you, to try and you're digging something out to be like, what's here? And it just wasn't there. And I think, I'm getting Emma involved. And then I start wandering around the flat looking for it. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm sure most of us have had one of these moments where you're thinking, but I stuck it in there and I don't know what's happened to it. What's happened here? And I end up like going room to room, and almost my mind is convincing me that, maybe I stuck it in a different room whilst, inside. I'm like, no, it can't be. And I even go into the bathroom to think, maybe I brought it in here for some reason. And my inner monologue, we all have one. It's okay to admit we all have an inner monologue, My inner monologue is like, what are you doing in here? You definitely didn't bring a pizza box in here. I'm like, I know, but where else has it gone? I don't know where else it would have been. And to cut an unnecessary long story short, I suppose, for all of you around this who've come to listen about Jesus and the Christmas story, we eventually did find the pizza box. Now, under our recycles section, where it is, there's a gas pipe that runs underneath the shelf of the first shelf that's there. And in the throwing in of the pizza box, the box had got itself wedged underneath the bottom shelf, but above the recycle box, on top of the pipe. And essentially, that's my story for you. Thanks for listening to the word of God. Worship band, if you could come up now. but the point for me is around this is, you're thinking, I hope there is a point. me too. It's something I seriously searched for. And what we're going to look at a story here is of a group of magi from the east who seriously searched and didn't give up, even though you kind of run into different roadblocks or kind of thinking like different hurdles. They kept going because they had that sort of nudge, I guess, within them, that sort of burning desire to see it through to completion, to find out what is at the end here. And that's our encouragement, I think, for us today, is that we're going to sort of look at two points from this I want to encourage us around. But it's around having a heart that's going to say, I'm going to hunt down answers. I'm going to keep, Celine, you were bringing it, weren't you? I wrote it down. If you're wondering what I'm doing here, it's what you prayed earlier. Don't give up. Keep asking questions. That's what the part of the journey of faith is about. It's about just seeking after and searching, because we believe there's hope to be found, continual hope to be found for us. So we're going to be reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. They'll come up on the screen behind me. Perfect. So it says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this story, Lord. And we ask, Lord, as you minister to us now, Lord, that you would reveal new truths to us. Lord, we pray that you would stir us, encourage us, and Lord, as we start this season of looking at hope, we pray that you would ignite in us a burning hope for those around us, for ourselves, Lord, that we would know that you are our living hope and we can always come to you. Amen. So there are 2 points that God has encouraged me to share with us today. So the first one is God wants us to be researchers, okay? And the second one is God wants us to be research assistants. Okay, these are 2 points. We're going to come through them as we go. But I just want to, I guess, just to introduce a little bit of our cast today from today's passage. So we have these magi. These are people who have traveled from the east. We don't actually really know a lot about them. We kind of, you know, I guess we can maybe make assumptions, but it's possible that they came from the Parthian Empire. So that's the Persian Empire kind of evolved, perhaps. Or it could be that they're from the Arabian Peninsula. Or it could be, which is more modern day, like Yemen and areas like that. Or it could be that they're from Jordan. I guess we don't really know. It just says that they came from the east. Okay, so it could be a range of areas, but they're traditionally known as wise men. They've been astrologers who have studied the stars, so kind of almost like the scientists of their day. You know, these are intelligent people who also have faith in their, you know, in their own beliefs, and they've come on mission and they've brought gifts. I think that's a general sense of what we learn around them. We then know that they encounter the people of Jerusalem, and that's just the people of Jerusalem. And there's King Herod in here as well. King Herod the Great. I was actually doing, as I was just preparing for this, I was looking at some research. We're not really going to touch on too much on King Herod today, but it was interesting. One of these articles was saying actually there's more about King Herod the Great than there is actually written about almost Jesus in some sense. There's almost more historical literature that speaks of King Herod the Great. So we know that, you know, this is, which gives us great authenticity in terms of actually where it was in time and what's happened. I think in a scholar called Josephus of the time wrote a huge literature story about the King Herod's violent exploits of what he got up to during his reign. He was quite violent, and there was like some joke, I think, that he made in terms of play on words, this Josephus, about it'd be better to be a pig than to be one of his sons, because of his pigs were treated much better than his sons were. We then see the chief priests and teachers of the law, and we come on to Mary and Joseph. So Mary and Jesus, rather. So the Magi weren't actually at the nativity scene. I think it's also important. We know we love the sort of, you know, the plays and things that we have, but they weren't quite there. They were a little bit later. So this is the first point. There is about us encouraged to be researchers. So there is hope for those that search. And I believe that God wants to encourage us over this Christmas time to search carefully for him afresh. You know, take what King Herod said, search carefully for the boy, the child. And let me encourage us, let's search carefully for King Jesus again this Christmas time, okay? As we revisit the Christmas story for ourselves again, you know, as we seek out answers, you know, we want to be a people who search, a people who search. Because I think whilst we know it's really challenging in our current context, and the internal context isn't changing. You know, the eternal context isn't changing. And this is the moment in time, which is what we're celebrating here, the moment in time where God has said, I'm going to make a way to save my people. Do you know, this is the moment in all of history, the time in all of history where he says, I'm going to send my son and bind him in humanity to live a life as an example, to teach of my heart for my children, to bring an end to hopelessness and replace it with a living hope for a future. This is the starting zone, right? This is the starting zone of that promise, of that working coming through. And I just want us to consider, under this view of being researchers, the story of the Magi. Because I love asking questions of the Bible. When I do the Bible study notes, most of the time, if you've been going through them in your home groups, it's mainly me just musing over different questions. I think, oh, I don't necessarily know the answers, but I wonder what you'd think of this as a group. Just have a muse, have a chat over this question that I've just found really interesting. Because sometimes we can skip over characters. Do you know what I mean? We can always just become a bit dull, I suppose, or just, you know, not getting a chance to just think about in a little bit of detail. But these Magi, you know, so they're non-Jewish, okay? So it's almost like potentially they're non-Jewish, we assume they are, but there's not necessarily a connection here for them in terms of, you know, with this idea of this king of the Jews. And yet they travelled. So I mean, and yet they travelled. And Chris next week is going to be talking about how there is hope for everyone, so I'm not going to step in too much in terms of that. But they're non-Jewish, you know, speaks to, you know, at the nativity scene itself, you've got the Jewish people, but you've also got, this Christmas story, you've got also the non-Jewish, the Gentiles, as they were called, connecting with the king here. If they're from the Parthian Empire, this Persian Empire, it's likely that they probably would have known the teachings of Daniel. You know, a wonderful story in the Old Testament of a wise man from Israel who was taken as a boy into the Babylonian Empire, raised up, but held on to his beliefs, held on to all the teachings that he would have had. And it's likely that through his life that he lived, they would have been aware of some of the teachings of the God of Israel and his power. And I love the book of Daniel. It's really worth sort of a read. There's some, you know, the friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego being in the fire, being unscathed. The story of Daniel being thrown into the den of lions, just dreams being revealed to him. There's a huge amount there of just of God's power coming through. And you think actually in terms of in a foreign nation, that would make you think, I'm going to sit up and listen. What's been going on? You know, this has happened centuries before. And so they're aware of a prophecy that God spoke of Israel that you would find in Numbers 24:17, where it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Diana mentioned this morning about, you know, this scepter, this sense of a king, a kingly. And this is talking about that a star will come up out of the land of Israel and that a new king will arise. And it's part, you know, there's a language here that's in part, well, David would have fulfilled that in part. But Christ, Jesus, fulfills that in its entirety, you know. And so maybe they've heard that. Because you've got to wonder, well, what, they encounter a star that they've never seen before, you know. And again, we don't know what that is, the spectrum of, was that miraculous and just, in a sense, bespoke within all of creation to this moment in time, or was it a comet? You know, that there's a evidence of a comet around sort of 7 to BC, around that sort of time, or was it an alignment of Jupiter and some other planets that kind of made it seem like a superstar of some kind going on? But here we find that these magi, who know what they're talking about, they know what they're talking about when it comes to stars. They encounter something new, in a sense, and they say, we need to follow after this. They've got no explanation around it. I wonder what you would do, you know, if you encountered moments that you've been unable to explain and thought, am I going to lean into this? Am I going to follow after this, follow it to pull on these threads and see where they go? Or am I just going to say, well, that's a nice coincidence, and I'm just going to go about my day doing whatever, or whatever is going on. And they respond by following this star, you know, and they travel day after day after day. They don't have cars, they don't have planes. They would have just, you know, been walking, or possibly on horses, or possibly on camels, in searching, just following a single star, hoping that what they believe it to be will be the King of the Jews, will be found at the end of it, you know, that they would find him. And I shared at the beginning of the story about searching high and far and low in my house for this pizza box. And the reason I feel like God wants to encourage us to be researchers, because I think that for us, I think it's important to recognize that people are searching today. I just had a text in the week from a friend who was completely out of the blue, but the heart of the message in some way was, I'm searching for something. I'm searching for meaning. I'm searching for purpose. I'm searching for answers to why. How can I, you know, not be struggling with this, that, or the other? People are searching. You know, maybe we're searching for a deeper connection with God. Maybe we're searching for greater understanding. Maybe we're searching for answers or for guidance, for ways forward. Maybe we're searching for what is our calling in a new season. Do you know what I mean? There's a sense for all of us that we are a continual searching. And one definition of research is defined as the systematic investigation into and study of materials and sources in order to establish facts and reach new conclusions. Two parts. Part one is a process and action, investigation and study. And part two is around finding answers. Searching is an active process. It's an engaged activity. It, you know, requires us to be prepared to leave the place of comfort, the place of where we've been, and go on a journey of discovery to somewhere else with possibly unknown destinations. And God is encouraging us to be researchers. And perhaps he's encouraging you to research in that context. Go deeper, look at things in more depth, you know, to draw in your relationship with God, to try to go closer to him and seek him more. Perhaps he's encouraging you to research. Maybe you've actually been, you have a belief, but you felt a bit distant for a while. He wants to encourage you to research after his heart. And perhaps, maybe if someone's here, you're feeling, I'm actually just at the starting point of searching its entirety. I want to encourage you to keep going, keep searching, because Jesus is not hidden. I think that's the important thing. It's not like this incredible game where Jesus is the master of hide and seek, okay? He is not the master. He probably would be. If he was playing, Jesus would absolutely be the master of hide and seek, clearly, because he's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants. But he is, in this context, he is not the master of hide and seek. He is not making it so difficult that he cannot be found by us. That's part of the hope that we hold on to in terms of those that search, that we can find him. second point I think is important for us today is just that we want to be research assistants. You know, this would probably be generally aimed at all of us who would say that we have a faith in Jesus, that we know of this hope for ourselves. This is important for us, that God wants us to be research assistants. If we pick up the story of the Magi in their journey, they stopped to ask for help. Who here is good at stopping and asking for help? I was thinking about asking for directions, but for my modern generation, I suppose, Google Maps just redirects you everywhere, so you don't have to worry too much about that. But ask, you know, it's good to be able to ask for help. It's important to be able to ask for help. I was recently in a different office to my usual one, and it was lunchtime. I probably appreciate that most of the things I talk to you about examples center around food, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that as a picture, okay? That's for you to take away. I'm okay with that. And I had my leftovers from dinner the night before, and I was taking it to the microwave, and I opened the microwave, and I know how to use a microwave. I think that's very important to say right from the off. I know how to use a microwave. I've used many a microwave in my life before. But I'm looking at the controls here, and I'm thinking, I've got no idea what I'm meant to be doing. And I just start pressing all these sorts of buttons. And I'm thinking, you hit the power one, then you're trying to select something, then you're trying to figure out how to turn the timer on or whatever. And nothing is happening. And, you know, it was plugged in, I appreciate, before anyone might want to frame that out there. And then this lady walks in, and you know, she can clearly see me struggling, and she like looks like, well, maybe in my defense I'm thinking she probably works there, but maybe she just knows better. You know, her skill at a microwave is far beyond mine. But I don't ask for help, I'm just still there just like bashing buttons, trying to get it to work, thinking I might as well just try and use some kinetic energy to warm this up myself rather than the chance of getting this microwave to work. But she just looks at me and then leans in and literally just presses two buttons and the whole thing starts working. And I feel very sheepish around it. I think I should have just asked for help. And it's important to be able to ask for help. So that's my encouragement to us. If you're struggling in any way, ask for help, okay? The Magi stop and ask for help. And because the knowledge that they have so far only takes them so far. You know, in terms of if we think about them, in terms of making the assumption that they might have known some of these prophecies from Daniel, it's taken them to Israel, and that's as far as they've gone, based on the knowledge that they have. And so they go to the capital city in the search of answers. They go to Jerusalem in the search for answers. And then they come into people, and they must have been asking people, where do I go? We're trying to find the King of the Jews. Where do we go? And obviously, for them, there's this challenge because you've got this really awful ruler who's a very violent and very unpredictable, I suppose, person on the throne. And so sort of engaging with conversation around a new king would be very, you know, you'd be worried about your health. But they go to people, but no one gives them an answer. And it's not until the King Herod summons the chief priest and maybe asks a different question in terms of, you know, they're saying, where's the King of the Jews? And probably most people are like pointing to King Herod going, he's, you know, he's not our king, but he's appointed the King of the Jews. And it's only when King Herod maybe changes that question to say, where's the Messiah born? You know, where's the prophesied Messiah to be born? That maybe, you know, it unlocks something. So another encouragement I think is for us is just around sometimes people are asking questions and a wrong question gets a wrong answer. Do you know what I mean? And so actually sometimes we need to be able to unpick with people and say, actually, what is the question that is behind the question? Does that make sense? Because we sometimes present something that's different to what we're really asking. And we want to try and be able to understand, well, how do I help you get from where you need to be? And so I feel God wants us to be encouraged to be research assistants. And what we mean by this, another definition for you, pulled straight from the interwebs, so I'll let the internet be its own
source of authenticity, but a research assistant is a researcher employed, often on a temporary contract, by a university or a research institute or a privately held organization for the purpose of assisting in academic or private research. Do you know we have a role to play in assisting those who are searching? If you're a believer, you have a role to play in supporting those who are searching. And the journey of searching for meaning or purpose or calling, whatever it might lead them to you. It might lead people to you. And you have a role to play. And in terms of that journey, it might be just as simple as inviting them to the carol service, or it might be just as simple as inviting them to a home group or pointing them in some other direction. That's what we see the chief priests do. They say, here we've come, I'm going to point you onto the direction that's next on your journey. We don't know where different people's journeys are leading. We don't know. We think about in Corinthians, don't we, about when Paul is saying, you know, Apollos watered, or Apollos planted and I watered. There's that link around, actually, we all have a role to play in supporting different people at different times, in different seasons, different parts of their journey, at different legs, where it might be that we're the ones who are the running buddies alongside them. Daniel, centuries earlier, possibly pointed the Magi to Israel, and Jerusalem points them to Bethlehem off the back of these verses that are found in Micah. Some of the most effective research assistants are those who have a good understanding and knowledge and application of the subject material. So our study of the word, our understanding of this, our time in prayer, our time with the Holy Spirit, our time with one another, encourages the wealth of our understanding to help encourage people on their journey as they connect in with us. So I just want to summarize with this. You know, there's hope for those that search because Jesus is available. He is approachable, and the hope we have is readily there. He is not playing hide and seek with us, where he's not reachable, he's not approachable. He is willing to engage, desperately wanting to engage with us and journey with us. You know, God wants to encourage us to commit personally to researching our own relationship, searching over this Christmas time. That's what I believe. Look across the opening chapters of the Gospels. You know, Mark dives straight into Jesus' life, but Matthew, Luke, and John speak of this time in history where God said, now's the moment that I'm going to come. Get into it. Let it fill you afresh. Just the sense that God said, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way. It was this time that I'm going to do it. We don't know where people are on their journey and as they search. And there are questions that sit behind things for different people. And the conversation that I was having with a friend this week took me completely out of the blue by surprise. I didn't expect that from someone. And I think it's important for us to be encouraged just to be always sensitive, I suppose, of what, you know, just snippets of conversation, even just at work. I chat regularly with a particular colleague who's a really good friend. And like, just there's odd moments where he will just in our sort of Microsoft Teams chat be like, it's for this reason I maybe think there is a God. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, okay, here's a moment, here's an opportunity. Let's just be sensitive to these times, be actually what's going on for people, how can we help them on their journey, or why do you think that? Let's chat. Do you want to chat about it? Do you want to, you know? And sometimes there's almost like that's things that skim the surface and then go back off again. But that's okay. It's about us just recognizing it sometimes, thinking, actually, can we just assist people on their journey? And I genuinely believe that all those who search for Jesus will find him. I genuinely believe that. Same for us today. And so as we go forward from here, we'd love to pray for us over these things. And then we'll just end with a song. But I want to encourage us to really just allow ourselves to be stirred with a new hope for this season. Because God's got plans for you. He's got people that he's going to be bringing into your life. Even just your friends that are currently in your life, not just the new people, but people in your life. You know, you get to be someone who gets to point them on a direction of somewhere along that journey. Be that running mate for them. So let's stand in readiness for worship. Now I just want to pray for us. Father, we do really thank you that you set a moment in time where you said, now is the time that I'm going to bring about the complete and whole way to save my people, to save my children, of which we are all counted. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Lord, I just pray for us that through these words, Lord, that you would encourage us to think about how we can have a heart that searches after you, that a heart that is nudged and unrelentless to seek after truth and answers that you bring, and direction and travel that you bring for us. Lord, I pray for all of us who are searching for answers right now and guidance right now and plans for the future right now. Lord, I pray that you would bring about those answers, bring about that encouragement to us. As our hearts chase after you, Lord, we know that you're not hidden from us, that you love meeting us, your children. Father, we ask that you would just come right now over us. Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit over us afresh and new. Lord, encourage us, please, to search for you. And Lord, we do ask that you would give us the strength and the courage to be those encouragements, be those research assistants that aid others who are searching, that come into our lives. Lord, give us the boldness and the confidence to do that well. And Lord, let us not be ashamed of just pointing people along a journey to somewhere else, because Lord, whenever we're pointing people in the direction of hope, that is the right thing to be doing. Lord, help us take confidence in that. So Lord, please be with us as we go from here. Excite us as we go from here. And Lord, we long to see more of what you're doing in our lives and in the life of this church and in the life of this community, Lord. Amen.